pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
And good day, good night, welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, January 29th, 2019, an historical day in Canadian soccer history, quote unquote. Welcome to Soccer Today. The Canadian Premier League had a press conference at 11:08 this morning, live from Toronto. And Dwayne, we're a little bit underwhelmed, let's be frank here, but Volkswagen Canada, founding partner of the Canadian Premier League, and also you have the first game in the league's history on April 27th at 1 p.m. at Tim Hortons Field. It doesn't get more Canadian than that stadium. York 9 travels to Hamilton to face Forge FC in the first 905 Derby, Dwayne.
Yes, the first 905 Derby, which Kurt Larson proclaimed as a joke, I'm sure, that it was the first real derby to ever take place in Canadian soil. That's ignoring the Canadian Soccer League, where, of course, the Toronto Blizzard and the North York Rockets played in. But let's put that aside for a second. Look, I'm glad there's a date, and I knew that that would be the main announcement today. Volkswagen it's Volkswagen Canada, as you say. It's a premier brand, and yeah, it's better to have a premier brand on the front of a shirt. We don't know which shirt it is yet, although I'm guessing it's York, because they're going to want to go into the major market. And we know that Tim Hortons will very likely be on the Forge's front of their shirts, simply because of that. So it's better to have that than Phillips Bakery, to use an old Canadian meme, right?
I'm not going to lie. I still want Joe's Donairs to be on Halifax's shirt, but that's just my Donair preference here.
Fair enough, yeah. But, you can assume that Volkswagen Canada is providing a greater degree of financial support to the league than Joe's Donair is capable of. So there is that.
Yeah. And I don't think it's just financial support. I think it's infrastructure, networking capabilities. The amount of business partners of Volkswagen Canada could become business partners with the Canadian Premier League just because of that aspect of synergy between what a sponsor can bring to a league. And we talk about this often. I used to talk about this on my cycling shows. When there's a new cycling sponsor to a team, it's not just about the sponsorship of the team. Often it helps if it's a company or a conglomerate of companies that do cater to the same type of demographic. So, example, Volkswagen Canada would love to sell more cars to millennials and generations underneath that, the famous 18 to 35, and they want to reposition themselves in that market. Soccer is a very popular sport in that market, so there's a chemistry of partnership right there. And on top of it too, if the company like Volkswagen can help a few teams get better partners by introducing people together, I think it's going to be that type of partnership too. You don't become a founding partner just to give a check.
No, there's also cross marketing opportunities, as you're sort of alluding to there. Those of us listening out there that are old enough to remember watching TV commercials in 2006, or even old enough to remember watching TV. Do people remember what that was?
Yeah. You know that thing that you just turned on and you don't have to look for what you're watching? Yeah.
Yeah, precisely. But there was a TV, because BMO, of course, was the, and still is, a very major corporate partner of Toronto FC. And when they launched in Canada, there was a very famous ad in which Jimmy Brennan and Chris Pozniak were heading the ball back and forth. I don't know. Maybe you remember it. Maybe you've seen it out there. It's still on YouTube if you want to look it up, folks. But it was everywhere in the lead up to that. And that was a BMO commercial, not a TFC commercial, right? It had a lot of cross promotion. So now Volkswagen, as a partner in this league, are invested in stamping their logo on stuff to do this. And they, you know, they have a marketing muscle and everyone knows what they are. And if they say, you know, proud sponsor of the Canadian Premier League, people might go, huh, yeah, what's that? So that, I think there is a benefit to that, just like there was a benefit of watching Jimmy Brennan and Chris Pozniak head the ball back and forth, you know, as they were fishing and as they were doing many. They were in the bathroom at one point. Everyone remembers that. They were two urinals and they were heading the ball back and forth. So, yes, it's the possibility of an ad like that also being made for the Canadian Premier League now exists with Volkswagen instead of BMO being the tagline of it. So that is, to me, the significance of this partnership. And I do think that, you know, there are people out there that have argued that they don't want to get involved, particularly in Ottawa. So let's talk to our Ottawa listeners right now, that they feel that the league is Mickey Mouse. There's some people that don't want them to leave the USL. Well,
there's no USL's partnership with Volkswagen. So,
what we've said all along, right? That the marketing potential of this, even if the quality is the same, the marketing level is going to be higher.
And we shouldn't act surprised about this, because a lot of behind the scene works, at least there's a shared views and shared, not identity, but the shared mentality between the Canadian Football League, which is the Canadian Football League, of course, the throwball American football, but the Canadian version, and this Canadian Premier League. There's a lot of resemblance between the two, and we should know when we look at the CFL example on TSN or just in normal life, the sponsorship that they do get are what we call blue chip, right? And I would call Volkswagen Canada as a founding partner of the Canadian Premier League as a blue chip partnership, where it looks good for the league to have that partnership, and it kind of rubs off on Volkswagen Canada, because the fan of the league will appreciate, and we're already seeing this on social media, a lot of fans like Mathieu, shout out to Mathieu, who already thanked Volkswagen Canada on social media for their contribution to Canadian soccer. So there's a lot of if you're a soccer fan in Canada and your team is sponsored by Volkswagen, you'll be more inclined to be open to the idea of getting a Volkswagen product. Now, depends if you actually care about diesel and the environment and the big scandal.
Or if you can afford a car.
Or if you can't afford a car, which is, who knows. But yeah, no, so I do feel it's a good news, but I do feel that I'm a bit still underwhelmed by the press conference. I was waiting for maybe a couple of games announced, at least like maybe the home openers or the first game of every club in the league, and not just the first game, which does have a conflict with TFC game. We'll talk about this in a second. But I'm a bit underwhelmed with the lack of more announcement. Like, even before the press conference was started, Dwayne, Armin Bedakan on Twitter, who works for the offices of the Canadian Premier League, is an assistant to Kurt Larson, who is director of content at CanadianPremierLeague.ca, CanPL.ca. Armin Bedakan tweeted, "Make sure you listen to the entire live stream for a lot of news." Well, I did, but it was like just 8 minutes and those two news. So I'm a bit underwhelmed. I was expecting maybe we would know if we could watch this on TV or not, but we don't have an answer to that question yet.
No, and look, they flew Marcus Haber. You saw the Vancouver live stream.
They flew Mark Zach Secunda. I don't know if it was in Halifax because the training camp's not started yet, but Zach Secunda was there from Halifax Wanderers. So there's a lot of players from the entire country that flew to attend an 8-minute press conference, which I guess there was a lunch and meetings and get together after, but still a lot of travels in 30 centimeters of snow for 8 minutes.
Yeah, look, I imagine that their thinking was that by making it a major announcement, which it is, in the announcing the start of the league is something that we've been waiting 5 years for. So that onto itself is major, is going to get the attention of national media, and that's what they probably want.
Yeah, that's why you had Luke Wildman, Craig Forrest, respectively of TSN and Sportsnet. And a lot more of our colleagues were there, James Grossi, Rudy Schuler, and who's who of the Toronto soccer scene was there today.
Yeah, and Rudy Schuler will be joining us tomorrow for Two Solitudes, where we break this down further. I'm not sure how, but we'll break things down in general probably and talk a little TFC on that show. The thing is, it's a double-edged sword, though. When you go all out to get the major media out, you got to give them some meat to eat. Otherwise, they're going to be complaining about the salad you gave them, you know? And they gave them a salad today.
And you know what they say about salad, eh? You don't make friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad.
Well, you know.
That's a Simpsons reference. I'm sorry, you're too old.
There you go. all right. Anyway, but I want to talk about the conflict, because I don't understand how this happens. And look, I'm not here to argue that you're going to be able to avoid conflict with Major League Soccer teams in Canada play. There, obviously, there's two leagues going to be going. There's going to be games. You're going to have to make choices, fans out there. But this is the very first game in league history, Kevin. And two teams from the Golden Horseshoe, which is TFC land, which has thousands of TFC, well, tens of thousands of TFC season tickets in, right? Including probably, I would guess, close to 1,000 in the Hamilton area itself, are going to be forced to make a change. And I think it's a mistake, Kevin.
I don't think it's on, and I don't think it's a coincidence, but continue.
I was going to say, is that their theory? Do they want to, like, line up right away and get a tape measure out? Is that what they want to do? Because they're going to have a shorter tape measure, and that's a problem.
It is, but I think it's a statement of intent. I think just the positioning of that game on April 27th at 1 p.m. Toronto plays in BMO Field at 3 p.m. So it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to watch the Forge FC game at Tim Horton Field against York 9 at 1 p.m., then drive 30 minutes south if traffic is cooperating to attend the game at BMO Field. I think it's a statement of intent that the Canadian Premier League is not just here to take part, but it's here to take over in a certain part of the country. And I think it's them saying, look, we're here to promote soccer. We're here to compete in not just on the field for this soccer league, but we want to compete in the rest of what a professional team does. And I guess it's a statement of intent. And look, if it's not, doesn't go well, if 1,000 people shows up, they're not going to repeat it next year. And I think that's why we only know about one date. I think there's still some strategy that needs to be worked out for the schedule to make sure that the most amount of fans can attend. That's like contradictory to what Halifax did last week by announcing that any games in Nova Scotia, any soccer game, will be postponed. If there's going to be a blackout across the entire province of youth soccer during Halifax Wanderers game to make sure that all the soccer fans can go to the stadium. So it's two different strategies right there.
Which is something we've wanted Canadian national teams to do in the markets they're playing in. I suspect when it comes to the rest of their home openers that they're planning to do local rollouts on that. And I do think that that's the right approach, to have press conferences in Halifax and press conferences in Calgary and Edmonton and Victoria to roll that out. So that is the way to do this. Unfortunately, one team will not play in the first week, and that is, unfortunate because of the 7-team number there, but you can't really help that. So I do think that is something that you'll see. But the other side of this were statement of intent. That's great, and it's great, absolutely, we're not going to hide the fact that we're competing for eyeballs with Major League Soccer, but you have to be realistic, and not just on the butts in the seat side of things, you have to be realistic in the media coverage side of things. And I'm sure the Spectator will cover it, but if you're York 9, you're in the Toronto market. I mean, they're going to argue that there's a distinction between York Region and Toronto, but anyone who lives here will kind of just laugh at that. Even people that live in York might laugh at that, unless they're highly involved in some kind of local community out there. There's not a lot of
who identifies as I live in the York Region. The biggest litmus test of this question is when you ask someone when they're traveling and you ask them where you're from. When they say Toronto, and I work in the hospitality industry on my day-to-day job, and when someone tells me that they're from Toronto, my immediate question is, well, where in Toronto? You're from Toronto, or from outside? And 90% of the time is, oh, I'm just a bit outside, but no one knows where Aurora is. Well, like, I do know where Aurora is, and you're not Toronto. But anyways.
Yeah. Is the Toronto Star going to take a reporter out to Hamilton that day to cover that game? No. They're going to spend what soccer resources they have. Laura's going to be at the TFC game is what I'm saying here, right? And because that's her beat, and they're losing an opportunity by not separating this. To me, they should have looked at the MLS schedule. They should have made sure there wasn't another major soccer game in the country that day and gone a full media blitz. If they're going to do a full media blitz to announce the day, do a full media blitz to make sure there's major national media at the damn game, because I guarantee you that the national media is going to talk about Toronto, Portland. I haven't looked at Vancouver, Montreal's schedule. So if they're probably playing that day too.
Yeah.
Because it's Saturday.
Well, it's a Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so
nothing would have stopped the league to do their first match on a Sunday at 4 p.m. where there's very low probability of another MLS game in the country. Or
the
on
MLS
a Friday night.
Out. They just look.
I know. Or a Friday night or something. We'll see the result of that game, and I think we'll leave the rest of the Canadian Premier League conversation for the Two Solid Soccer Podcast, which especially this week will be recorded tomorrow with Rudy Schuler of the Sporting News, who was at the press conference today. And we'll talk to Rudy tomorrow on the Two Solid Soccer Podcast, which you can get access to for $2 a month at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. On top of those two news, there was a trade. Yes, breaking news, trade last night in Major League Soccer. Another one of those trades. You know, money is changing hands like never before in Major League Soccer. Now that we do know the amounts, and it's been 2 years now that the league's been open and the teams have been open with the amount of money traded, and it's not just, okay, we traded this guy for allocation. But after the now infamous Nick Hagelin and allocation money trade with TFC and FC Cincinnati. Last night, Aiko Parra of the Sporting Kansas City was traded to the Minnesota United, the Loons, for up to $1 million of allocation. That's a lot of money.
You know, it is. And there's been some people suggesting that this trade is as absurd in terms of the financial wherewithal as the TFC Nick Hagelin trade. And look, I disagree with that because Aiko Parra was
the proven, yeah,
under the year at one point. Now he has an injury history, which makes him a bit of a question, and that's probably why Kansas City was willing to move on. And you have to assume they have a target in mind with that. It's TAM that they're mostly bringing in for it. So they have a TAM target, obviously, in mind, which fits in with their overall philosophy of how they build that team. Look, I from a Minnesota perspective, though, this is what I'll say and why I will defend this more than – and I did defend this on Twitter last night. I think it's a good move for Minnesota.
Yeah.
If they weren't going to use that TAM anyway, then they're essentially using the TAM on him.
And
right?
Let's not forget that TAM, it's almost the exact amount that they got from LAFC for Christian Ramirez during the regular season last year when they traded Batman to LAFC.
Yeah, this is the same philosophy I have in the other sport. The Loons, you know, let's talk about the NHL again. Get your bingo card out. I'm going to talk about hockey. You know how there's this resistance towards with hockey people to trade draft picks. They're viewed as this platinum thing that's out there, right? You can't ever give out your draft pick. You're mortgaging your future, blah, blah, blah. I always have a different look at it. That's an asset. And if you get an asset that's equal to what you would have got there anyway, then you're fine. That's how you have to evaluate a draft trade pick. It's the same thing. Drafts don't matter in MLS, as I said, as we've said many thousands of times.
As we say at least a few times a year.
Yeah, but allocation does. So really the way you look at allocation is the same way you look at a draft pick in the NFL, NBA, NHL. If you're getting an asset that you would be thrilled with to get at that point of the draft with that much allocation in this case, then it's good for you, and you only have to view it that way. So if you're a Minnesota fan listening to this, don't worry too much about the money. This is what you spent your money on. That's it. That's the bottom line. And Aiko Parra, if he's healthy, is going to be a very good addition to what was a disastrous defensive team. They needed this help, and they got an MLS-proven defender, a guy that he was a draft pick, by the way. I remember advocating for him to be picked by TFC that year.
In 2010. That's 2010. Wait, I think it's even 2009.
A long time ago, but that's what I'm saying here. At any rate, it's a good move for them, but we have to wait to fully evaluate the Kansas City, just like we have to fully evaluate TFC's secondary move in terms of what they're going to do with this Nick Hagelin move. The difference is you're talking about would you ever trade the two players one for one?
Trying to do that in FIFA. See what the computer says and say, no, trade not fair. Trade not fair. This will never fly, but it did.
Yeah, and so it's an equatable value for much greater assets. So, look, in TFC, there's a lot of balls in the air right now with TFC, as we talked about yesterday at length. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to us talk for, 25 minutes on the Jovinko stop? Yeah. But we'll watch that play out. But the underlying other issue to this is how much money they're spending. So this is just an indication of how much allocation stuff is out there and how teams are – and this is an interesting thing. I go back to the early days. I go back to the ICF days, and Ben Knight used to always joke that it was a league of McDonald's franchises playing each other, and he had a truth to that. What he meant is that different jerseys would come in, but it was the same product week after week because every team was built the same way. Every team basically was the same. You know, there were like a couple teams that were really good, a couple teams, and we watched one week after week that were really bad, and the rest were kind of mushy, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. There's distinctions on how teams are built in this league, and this, I think, allocation is really going to put that forward. There's going to be teams that are going to be built with three big DPs. There's going to be teams that are going to be built through like a balanced lineup where they're spending on TAM instead. There's going to be bad teams. There's going to be good teams, right? So it's a much more interesting league that way, and these trades kind of illustrate that.
And at the bottom, you're going to have Orlando in the East and San Jose in the West. So nothing really changes.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati might have something to say with that. Although I do think Cincinnati is going to be just Cincinnati is going to be more of a Colorado than they're going to be an Orlando. I don't think they're going to have a 20-point season, but I think they're going to be like a 34-point team for 4 years in a row.
Have fun, guys, in Cincinnati. It's going to be a fun time. Another quick kind of news. It's just a report right now. And former guest on the show a couple years ago, Rob Ousry of the Dirty South Soccer, is reporting right now that Pogba is coming to Atlanta United. Hold up. Not Paul. I didn't say Paul. I said Pogba. He's got a brother, an older one, that's called Florentin Pogba, and he might be a player for Atlanta when you listen to this show. So basically, it's the exact same comparison you can do with Federico Higuain and Gonzalo Higuain. Like, the Gonzalo is the better of the two brothers, but he's not the one in Major League Soccer. And the same will be said for Florentin Pogba. He's not the best of the brothers, but he's the one we're going to get in Major League Soccer.
This continues a proud history of getting the brothers of very famous footballers into this league. Wayne Rooney's brother played on New York briefly.
Yeah.
The Wright Phillips, before he came over here, was the less famous Sean. Brother of the Wright Phillips.
That's true.
So there you go. there's a lot of that history. Well, look, I mean, let's evaluate the player as he comes over here. He's obviously coming from a good gene pool, so we'll see. Atlanta seems to know what they're doing, so yeah.
I'll be fun to watch, to keep an eye on, just to have a shirt with a Pogba name on it. And a lot of people will have a double thing. We'll be like, wait a second, his face. Oh, it's his brother. Exactly.
To take this somewhat seriously, I don't think it's an accident that Wayne Rooney's brother was here for a minute, for instance. I do think there's an element of trying to.
Of swaying his brother to talk nicely about the league to the older brother, to the other brother, to make him come eventually. Why not?
Yeah, and to maybe, if you trick 10 people too.
Not just that. You're like, okay, your brother's under contract.
Jersey too.
Yeah, of course. That's actually, they're going to sell a shitload of those Pogba jerseys because no one knows it's not Paul. It just says Pogba. That's true. That's not a bad look. To finish the show today, Dwayne, I just want to take a look quickly at the FA Cup from last weekend. There was a few surprises. Shrewsbury tying Wolves and forcing a replay. You got five replays that are going to happen next Saturday. So Brentford, Barnett. Barnett is the lowest seeded team. They're playing in League One, I believe, that is still in the FA Cup. QPR, Portsmouth, you do have them in the Barnett is actually in League 2. QPR, Portsmouth in the fourth round replays as well. QPR in the championship, Portsmouth in League 1. West Brom, Brighton, Newport County, Borough, and Wolves, Shrewsbury. Those are the five replays. But what's interesting is Wimbledon. Wimbledon, who won in the fourth round. AFC Wimbledon, yeah, we're talking about the Phoenixes here. Phoenix incarnated in the English Football League. AFC Wimbledon will be playing at home against Millwall in what could be called a throwback derby.
Yeah, it's a London derby anyway. But I'm pretty sure everyone listening to the show knows the AFC Wimbledon story by now, but it certainly never gets old. But putting that history aside, it's just even good. It's good story now because they're not really doing that well this year in terms of their league play, but yet they're truly exemplifying the magic of the cup, and they beat Wimbledon, they beat West Ham quite well, 4-2, right? Like it was a solid win. They were up 3-0 at one point in that game. West Ham fought back, the Premier League side, you would hope they would. They were three levels above. But yeah, it's a good story that way. And I mean, look, this is what you talk about, the best matchup in round five, and you know, that depends on how you define it. Is Chelsea United the best matchup of round five?
It's, well, it's the highest profile. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one that's going to be on TV. It's the one that's going to get the most eyeballs. But a lot of people that love the FA Cup still will look at Wimbledon, will look at Wimbledon-Millwall and look ahead and go, well, one of those teams is going to be in the next round, which means you're going to have, you know,
David Goliath either, in the quarterfinals.
Well, when you time you get to that round, you're having a true middle playing probably a Premier League side with the hope to go to a semifinal. And that's a significant thing right there, I hope, which includes a trip to Wembley at that point, because the semifinals are played at Wembley.
And includes a check. Every round you win in the FA Cup, you get money allocated, and it's not allocation money, but it's just money allocated to your team to compensate for the amount of games that you have to play and to help you. 100,000, 200,000 pounds every round that you win does make a big difference for a club like Wimbledon. Just with that round, they might be able to hire one or two players to help them during the rest of the season, if not help the infrastructure and grow the club to its full potential. So that win against West Ham, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars of value for that club, and some value that is even priceless. The feeling of fans that you beat a Premier League team to continue on, the famous magic of the cup to get that feeling towards your club, this is almost priceless. And every round they win, it's more money in the bank for the minnow team. So it's positive. And there's a few minnows left, of course. We're talking about Wimbledon, Millwall there. There's Doncaster that's still there. There's Bristol City and Derby County from the championship that are still there. So it's going to be some great matches in this fifth round, but we'll keep an eye on the replays first next weekend.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned Derby and Bristol City. They're both clubs that they're obviously not minnows in the overall grand scheme of the tournament, which starts, you know, in the summer.
Yeah. And which starts with like men's league in the summer before.
But in terms of the final rounds of this thing, they certainly are. And they're both good stories. I mean, Derby, Frank Lampard, they're doing well. There are a lot of people's minds. They, you know, a team that's been in the Premier League before. But they're a great story that people are following quite closely. Bristol City's a team that went to the semifinals of the League Cup last year. It has a good cup history in recent times. You know, Bristol, which, you know, our friend Simon Fudge, that's his team. So there you go. It's where some of my family is actually from, Bristol. I probably should, you know, by all accounts, be a Bristol City fan, but I, you know, I'm a glory hunter. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, Man City for you.
Which they did fine in the last round. And yes. Yeah, probably are going to be fine in the next round too. So
should be, because you're playing TBD for now. And so we'll see who TBD becomes. But that's fascinating. So that wraps it up for today, Dwayne, unless you have anything else you wanted to add for this show. We'll be back tomorrow with the Two Solid Soccer Podcast with Rudy Schuler of the Sporting News to talk about the Canadian Premier League presser of today, and of course to touch on the Jovinko story, the Jovinko saga, or I don't know how you want to call it, but the interesting, there's never a dull moment following Major League Soccer teams, isn't there?
Yeah, no, for sure. The only thing I'll add is, you know, I to talk about the Canadian Premier League versus TFC on the 27th of April, I'll be in Hamilton. That's the choice I'll make, but that's a personal choice. I'm going to be curious to see how many join me. And Jovinko Gate, this is more drama than we need, but kind of makes me nostalgic for the bad old days of TFC, Kevin. On that note, yeah, I'll let you, as always, say goodbye.
The thing is I want a free night in a hotel in Mississauga, so I might use it on April 27th because I'm not paying money. But I can travel there to watch the Canadian Premier League's first game. So it's a kind of the bucket list type of thing. We've been talking about this league for so long, we better be there when it launches.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and you watch TFC on TV after, but it's one game out of 17.
We don't know if we'll be able to watch the CanPL on TV yet, and that's one of the questions we want an answer from as soon as possible. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and the show at Soccer Today SBN. If you want to catch tomorrow's show, which will be on a special day, we'll be recording the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast on Wednesday this week because of our guest. So tomorrow, Two Solitudes, no soccer today, tomorrow, it'll be the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. We'll be back with a brand new Soccer Today show on Thursday. And as always, until then, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.